Recovery Zone on KB Radio, and I'm Stephanie Potter. As I've mentioned before, the premise of the Recovery Zone is that such factors as conquest and exploitation are creating the dis-ease of our present world. Healing will take place through our efforts to create cooperation, community, sustainability, and harmony with nature. Today's show features spiritual ecologist Morgan Brent, who has been bridging the world between academia and indigenous cultures. His interest in medicinal and sacramental plants led to a doctoral program in medical anthropology, but moved increasingly in the direction of ecological studies. His research eventually focused on the great herbalist traditions of the world, their role in spiritual revitalization movements, and their common prescriptive message of healing for humanity. He has spent time with curanderos in the Peruvian Amazon and has traveled extensively, giving talks and workshops on the teachings of the forest and what he calls the Silvopolitan. He's recently acquired 10 acres of meadow and forest near Olympia, Washington, where he does permaculture and writing, and through lecture and singing circles, he also teaches some classes locally here in the Northwest. And Morgan, I'd just like to welcome you to the Recovery Zone.
Thank you, Stephanie. Good to be here.
And you do these singing circles, and I'd like to just start by asking you to do a song for us.
Thank you. I'll begin with the latest song that's been working with, so it'll have some freshness.
May all that I say unto this world attest to the strength of the love unfurled. May all that I sing unto this tribe flow with the grace of the holy scribe. May all that I be unto this land shine with the light of the spirit at hand.
Thanks. And so I know that your background is it's academic, as we just pointed out, and it's also working with curanderos and shamans in the Peruvian Amazon. And as I mentioned earlier, you have a sort of a prescription for humanity that comes from the plants. And part of this is what you call the mythology of the Silvopolitan. And I'd like you to maybe just describe some of that for us. We can just get into that.
Yes. To give you a little background, quite a while ago, I'd sort of given up on humans teaching me much of anything and looked towards the world of nature and especially plants. And so I pursued this apprenticeship in many ways with the plants, and I pursued this through academia. And there I did a survey of herbalist traditions from all over the world, from all times. And out of that distilled an understanding of the world, a worldview, understanding of health and illness, our purpose, that sort of thing. And when I went to the Amazon, I got these same teachings in a more experiential way. And so the Silvopolitan is really a proactive way of understanding the teachings of the plants. And by this I mean that plants is an elder life form of being on this planet prior to us, in many ways running things and having this magical molecule of chlorophyll, have much to teach us, the younger species. And we go to plants for food, shelter, and when we're sick, when we're in trouble. They're the blueprint or green print of all medicines. So you might think that if we get sick or ill and go to the plants, then they might respond, well, if you do such and such, this and this way, you may not get sick or ill or need our help in this way. So this is what I mean about the worldview coming from the plants about how to live well as a species, how to prosper and flourish as individuals and as a community. And much of this is about learning what I call the culture of nature.
And that's what you call the silvopolitan.
Well, the silvopolitan is a well-cultured person in the culture of nature. In other words, there's a sophistication that you develop when you attune yourself to these principles. And briefly, silva means of the forest or of nature. Politan means city of. I mean, means citizen of. So you're just like the citizen of the city-state of nature or the forest. And this culture of nature, it's a way of understanding the Gaian metabolism. It's a way of understanding the ecosystemic intelligence that you see in forests that run things. And also various species have a way of life. You know, how flowers unfurl, how birds do mating dances, these can be understood as a culture. And that humans would do best by learning this culture and patterning our culture on this culture of nature in our own unique human way. And so in many ways, the teachings of the plants to do well is really an acculturation process.
And so if you were going to describe then the silvopolitan for us, how would you do that?
Well, the silvopolitan is somebody who makes a life work of doing this culture of nature well. Just like in the city, there's people that are well-cultured, sophisticated, worldly, cosmopolitan people. And they go to universities to learn the culture of, like, our civilization. And in many ways, the silvopolitan has the same inclinations. It's just that his city is nature, and in many ways, the forest. And that he or she develops themselves through an education through, we'll say, the horizontal world of form, of nature, and the vertical world of spirit. It's a much more full-spectrum kind of education. And to, again, because what we know in our culture is the cosmopolitan, which I would argue from a silvopolitan perspective, is a very sort of anemic way of understanding human development. And by this I mean that the cosmopolitan generally has an exclusively university education, makes a lot of money, lives in the city. But there's a viewpoint that a solely university education is highly rationalistic. It's very book-based, very visual in that sense. The high income comes from a self-destructive economy, which just seems to be reaping the karmas of its adventure right now. And the city is highly monospecies and is also built on the same economy. So in many ways, the cosmopolitan is part of the whole empire, this whole understanding that civilization is becoming transparent to its empire origins. And as the civilization begins to come to the end of its lifespan, the silvopolitan, which tends to go underground or retreat when civilizations rise, is coming back. But it's coming back in a new form because in many ways, it's feeding off the nutrients of the composting empire. And there's many cosmopolitans who their cars are going to be running out of gas. And the United States dollar is going to start going down. There's a lot of changes happening. And so I think there's going to be many cosmopolitans who are wanting to remake themselves, better adapted, more in the silvopolitan archetype.
And so how, if they do want to adapt to the silvopolitan archetype, what are some of the kinds of things that they would become or do or whatever?
Okay, so this is a part of what I'm spending a lot of time in the book that I'm writing called Silvopolitan Rising. Much of it is fleshing out this reemerging archetype of the silvopolitan, which in many ways is bridging the world of the cosmopolitan and the best that's coming out of that, the internet's technology, I would say globalization of the Christ consciousness, renewable energies, the many things, and what is coming through the culture of nature, lessons about how to live well, reciprocities, life force, understandings, dialogue with nature. These things are coming together in the silvopolitan in its new form. And one thing is the importance of the in-body experience. And this is the understanding that the language of our body and the language of the earth are the same, and that within our body is all the molecules of the natural world, and there is guidance there. There's original instructions. There is, just like cells in your body know how to operate, to keep the whole body working, so we as humans are cells in this organism of humanity, which is part of this largest organism of the planet, and that there's a communication happening about how to stay on track for the greater whole. And the body is really the key to that. And I feel that it's important to tune in to what I call the fertility circuits of the planet, which means as life force circulates through water, through carbon, it's good for humans to really access that nourishment, to breathe in clean air, eat quality foods, these sort of things. You can access the vitality, and with the vitality comes the information.
Okay, I'm sure there's more. I want to take a little break right here just to say that this is the Recovery Zone on KBOO Radio, and I'm Stephanie Potter, and my guest is Morgan Brent, a spiritual ecologist who, as he says, is seeding the world both with lectures and ceremonial singing circles and hoping to give birth to a re-emerging consciousness of love for the planet and world peace. To find out more, you can go to his website at www.tribesofcreation.com. That's tribesofcreation.com. Okay, Morgan, so there's definitely more to this. I'd like you to just carry on here with the silvopolitan aspects for us.
Okay. So another attribute is what I call the importance of periodically entering into liminal spaces. And by that I mean ceremonial space where you can get into an altered consciousness, so that periodically whatever structures that you build up through your life, you have a time in order to get into a fluid space to loosen those structures, to die to whatever needs to go, to be reborn to whatever needs to come. And because I feel that spirit is really the actuality behind the reality that we see, that these kind of spaces allow spirit to bubble up and help infuse us with archetypal understandings, with guidance, and to help us in this process.
So this is like taking time out to meditate or...
Yes, this is being a human being as opposed to a human doing. Because if you're always a human doing, you forget how to be. And out of the being comes really the purpose behind all this. So, and just as though you go from a child to an adult, from an unmarried to a married, you need to let go of those things. And it's hard for egoic, fixated people to do that. But these are rites of passage. Periodic rites of passage are very important. They can be understood in modern contexts, meditation retreats, etc.
Right.
There's also the rites of passage for society, the importance of festivals, Mardi Gras, fairs, holidays, where as a collective we can be released from those binding rules of normality and remake ourselves and rebirth ourselves. So it's the same for the body of society.
And by taking these breaks, we're able to heal or recover into a deeper connection with our own body and senses.
Yes. So for the senses, that's another attribute which I call to have a well-rounded ecology of knowledge. And by this I mean that we live in a society which is very visual-oriented and also to hearing to some extent. We read books and we listen to radio and things. But if you're in the forest and you're in nature, which of course humans have been in for most of our 99% of existence, then you learn to use your smell, your touch, your taste, the five or six senses, however you understand it, to use them in a balanced ratio so that you have a more complete picture of reality. Because sometimes things that taste good may not feel good, but if you're out of touch with feeling, you don't get that. So this balance allows you to see the world, as I said, in a more complete way. And you also learn to develop your senses in such a way that the world is you perceive it more clearly. there's a notion that in many religions that the world is illusion, and that there's a lot of trickery there, and et cetera, et cetera. But I feel this is largely an issue of people not developing their senses, the subtleties. And we live in a culture where there's a lot of money to be made off of bombarding your senses to get some reaction. So you'll buy something. This is junk food, salt and sugar things. And the way things like MTV is edited and pop songs, all these sort of things are stimulations.
Right. Movies get more and more violent. Just people need more energy or more intensity.
Because they get numb from all this overstimulation. And as you get numb, you lose the feedback of this reality through your senses. And because your senses aren't working, you're more willing to listen and believe in the propaganda that comes to you through the spell that I call advertising and media and everything. So it's got to the point that what I call the Las Vegas effect, which is where people are so numbed that a place like Las Vegas exists in order to bombard people further to get some kind of stimulation out of them to get some more money. And it's interesting that many of the spiritual traditions of this world, the pyramids of Egypt, Camelot, they're all recreated in Las Vegas in this kind of temple city of Mammon to draw on these energies to get some reaction out of people.
And on the Silvapolitan path, as you're becoming more sensitive, you're also recovering more a sense of be here now or presence?
Yeah, because when you become more in tune with your senses, you enjoy this reality more, and you have to be more present in order to be more infused in this world and to be more incarnated. And as you do this, you have the opposite of what they call soul loss in shamanism. You have soul gain. And the more you are here, the more present, the more things work well. And this is really an essential understanding of spirituality, to be here now, to be in the eternal now. And this is also the attribute of the Silvapolitan. And I really feel that the Silvapolitan is a description of the next phase of human evolution that's been previewed in sacred cultures, but is now going to go more on a mass scale. And much of this is about being out of these trips of the past and the future and being present. But the Silvapolitan is more of a nature conscious way of approaching spirituality.
And so, but then we're also dealing with the world at large here, which, you know, the power being wielded by the forces of, quote, evil, or whatever you want to call it. You know, you wouldn't call it the forces of evil, but how do we heal or work with that?
Well, I think the first thing to do is be careful of the loss of power, that much of the economy and society is built on kind of draining power off of you. And much of that, I can say, comes from not owning your own ability, your own authority to make decisions, because we've inherited this ideology of separation. As we separate from our body and from nature, we lose the guidance. So we look outside ourselves for authority figures, and there's many religions which justify these authority figures, and we give our power away. Then the whole domination empire program, which has been going on for thousands of years, makes more sense. So what I suggest from a Silvapolitan perspective is to really access the power of the green. It's the same power that allows the little sprouts of grass to pump up and crack through concrete. And because we have the evolutionary heritage in our DNA, in our bone, in our body, we can access this power to flourish and to do what we need to do on the planet, to be true to our nature. So the power of the green is very important. There's also what I call perform dreams. And this is the idea that when you're giving visions or epiphanies or some really strong intuition to do something, you need to act it, to sing it, to write it, to be it. Because this is really a way that spirit comes into the material world. And performing dreams is a very important thing to pay attention to. Someone once said, in America we have this yearning disability, which is that we don't pay attention to a lot of what we're yearning to do. And this is really, I feel, an obligation to really be out there with our inclinations. And a final thing about power is really knowing that the dark side of us, all that we judge, all the way from our childhood traumas to George Bush, these are all things which need to be faced in a loving situation. So because there's life force tied up there, and by embracing this in the sense of being present for it, it releases this life force and brings us more power, more energy.
And a final thing then, I know that you do a lot with metaphor when you talk, comparing humans to plants and stuff. Could you maybe just say a little about how that works for you with language?
Well, I think the best thing to start with that is knowing that there's something that the indigenous people call the old language. And this is the language before humans lost contact with much of nature. This is like the lingua franca. It's the common language through which we communicate with the other members of the Gaian metabolism. And it's very much a language of resonance. In other words, it's mediated through the feeling body. And because, again, a lot of our feeling body is shut down, we've lost some of that, but it's part of our birthright, part of our heritage, and can be recovered. So these languages of resonance, and you see this in old Chinese and old Mayan African language. These are sing-song tonal languages. And the work with the plants, each plant has a song, and they teach songs. And when you sing, you're feeling what you express verbally. So the deeper you can feeling, the more you can communicate. And this is really an intuitive understanding with humans, but even more so with nature. And so a lot of my work is with helping people recover the power of their voice, especially their native ability to sing. That is something that we are a singing species. And that it's been professionalized, et cetera. And it's, again, another way that our power has been taken away.
Well, in the last moment here, I would like you to sing a song for us again, but maybe you could tell us quickly before you do that some of the things that you're doing here in the Northwest and what people could do to get a hold of you.
Well, when you work with plants long enough, especially the Amazonian teacher plants, they give you a job and send you out into the world. You become what I call the agent of the vibe. Capital V. And so my sort of dual jobs are to speak the culture of nature, sort of an outreach to cosmopolitans that want to come over to the Silvapolitan, which is emerging. And it's also to help seed ceremonial singing circles. And this is an ancient primordial way of gathering in community and exploring your voice and singing your prayers. And through doing this, you open up space for forces greater than us to come through us to help affect changes on these planets. And also through the words of the song, you're singing in the mythology. You're singing in the affirmations of the culture that wants to be birthed. And this singing community is all over the world. And I've made it a path of mine to travel and collect these songs, and they're all that I sing now are all on my website. And I, in the Northwest, I do various singing circles, and you can always contact me for that. And my bigger motivation now is to put together a ceremonial singing circle festival gathering for the summer of 2007. And over the summer, I'm going to be traveling. I'm going to be at the Oregon Country Fair, at the Human Fairy Relations Congress, various places gathering interest. So anyone who is interested in that, to develop their voice, who has songs, who wants to be in ceremony and that sort of thing, can contact me. And if you feel moved to, help produce this festival, which is going to be a very grassroots, egalitarian sort of affair.
And your website is www.tribesofcreation.com. Okay, and then just one more song before we close.
Okay. This is sort of a Silvapolitan rap song, sort of.
It's from the forest that I learn how the seasons come and turn. It's from the ocean that I see what was and what shall be. All the worlds are co-teachings. All of nature speaks to me. Story, story, shine around us for the inner odyssey. It's from the animals that sing that I hear what life will bring. It's from the plants that root and rise that I tell the truth from lies. All the worlds are good teachings. All of nature speaks to me. Story, story, shine around us for the inner odyssey. It's from the fire that I know why the kingdoms come and go. It's from the wind that's blowing through that I feel what to do. All the worlds are good teachings. All of nature speaks to me. Story, story, shine around us for the inner odyssey. It's from the rain that's coming down that I hear what's going round. It's from this culture of the land that I've come to understand. All the worlds are good teachings. All of nature speaks to me. Spirit, spirit, light around us that can teach us how to see. Teach us how to be. Teach us how to see. Da 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 da.
Okay, thanks. And I've been speaking to spiritual ecologist Morgan Brent, who is teaching Earth consciousness through lectures and songs. You can find out more at www.tribesofcreation.com. And so, Morgan, thanks for being here.
Well, thank you very much for the opportunity.
And I'm Stephanie Potter, and you've been listening to The Recovery Zone on KB Radio. This is the Thursday Morning Radio Zine for Thursday, June 1st. Coming up next, Art Focus. Julie Bernard hosts. Her guest is photographer Kelly Pennington, and 11 on Democracy Now! It's a focus on the politics of AIDS and a look at the meaning of the re-election of Colombian President Uribe. Stay tuned for that, and stay tuned next for Art Focus.